Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
We're going to continue in Luke. We're going through the series of Luke. That's why all the medical themes. And I want to remind us, Luke writes to Theophilus, right in the beginning, he writes to Theophilus and he says this, I want to present Jesus Christ to you so that you can be convinced of this one fact, that he is God incarnate, that he is the Savior of the world. You need not look any further than Jesus Christ. That's the reason why Luke was writing. He's a very meticulous writer. And if we can get into the Word, I'm going to continue that. And I pray that after this, we will have no doubt in our minds, this wonderful Savior that we come to. He came as a man, but I tell you, he is God incarnate. He is Almighty God. And I want to emphasize that, Almighty. All power, all authority resides in Jesus Christ. There is no power, there is no authority, there is no resurrection, there is no life, there is no truth, there is no way other than through Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is so powerful. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture, and then we're going to just make some comments on that. But I want to read a chunky portion of Scripture. The Word of God is so powerful, it is living and it is active. The Bible says this, when my word goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me void and empty, but it will accomplish that to which I have assigned it to do. We are in need of the Word of God. If anything, we are in need of the Word of God. The Word of God is not just writing on paper. It's not a novel that we read and we understand the story and then we get bored of it. The Word of God is living. That's why I've been born again for 32 odd years. Every time I read the Word, it's new, it's living, and it's active. And there's a season in God's Word, and I'm trusting that you are here this morning because he wants you to listen to this Word. Because I tell you, if we receive his Word, knowing that it comes from Almighty God, it will accomplish that to which he has set it out to do. There will be fruit in our lives. So I'm honored to be able to read this Word. Luke 8, and we're going to read from verse 40 all the way to verse 56. And I've entitled this preach, Faith in Jesus Christ. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and she touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, but Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, no, someone touched me. I know that because power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe. And she will be healed. Prophetic word comes this morning. Don't be afraid. There's more for us than against us. We're singing, God has set, I'm no longer a child of fear, but I'm a child of God. I've been set free. God is going to emphasize something. Do not be afraid, just believe. Then he arrived at the house of Jairus, and he did not let anyone go in except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand, and he said, my child, get up. And her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat, and her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Right, so I want to comment Luke 8 and 40. Now when Jesus returned, so when he returned, I just want to put a little bit in context. Jesus had gone over the lake to the Gerasenes or whatever. There we go. He goes over the lake and he casts out a demon. And then those demons go into the pigs. And this crowd, they could not handle that. At the end of that, right about chapter verse 37, it says that the whole community across the lake said to Jesus, please leave. Please leave. We cannot handle it. You know, sometimes when the power of God comes, there's a certain amount of sacrifice that happens in our lives. When the power and the miraculous starts to move, often we've got to give up something in our lives. These guys couldn't handle it. The way they received Christ is they said, please leave our area. Possibly one of the most startling and scariest verses that follow, it says that Jesus got into his boat and he left. I tell you, I pray that we would never resist the Lord. When he's moving in our lives and there's change that is happening, go with the change. Change is hard. But let us never be like that crowd who says, no, no, no. Get in your boat and go. Because you know what? Jesus is a gentleman. Whatever things you ask, whatever things you seek, he will oblige. The contrast of that crowd to this crowd, now he comes back and he returned. On his return, what did he comes to a welcome. And the Bible says, for they were all expecting him. There's something about expectation that raises the level of faith. And I want to say, what is your expectation of Jesus Christ? The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no changing. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But is our expectation, I want to, honestly, this morning when you got in your car, when you were preparing to come to church, did you have an expectation? I'm going to meet with a God who has all authority and all power. I'm going to meet with a God that with a word he can heal me, with a word he can set free. And if he did it in the past, he can do it this morning. I want us to understand, did we come with this expectation to meet with this beautiful God? Sometimes we can get so carried away in church and I'm coming to meet my friends. I don't know what, you know, Ian said, let's applaud for John. If you are coming with an expectation to hear from a man, I tell you, you are going to be disappointed. You know why? Because you are going to hear from a man. But if our expectation is to come, and I'm coming to church because I'm going to meet with the one who created everything. I'm coming to meet with God. If that's our expectation, that's the expectation that'll be met. If we see Jesus as limited, then our expectation of him will be limited. But if we see Jesus as able to do all things, then we have an expectation that is unlimited. Don't limit God. Expect great things from a great God. You know, in Nazareth was Jesus' hometown. So when he grew up, the people didn't see, they saw him and they even confessed. They said, but aren't you Joseph's son? Aren't you Mary's son? Aren't you the carpenter? You see, they saw Jesus in the natural light. Whatever we see, we will receive. What you see is what you get. And the people of Nazareth, the Bible says that he could not do many great miracles amongst them. Why is that? Because they limited him because they saw him as Joseph's son. But let's see him as God's only begotten son. When we see him like that, God is able to do amazing things amongst us, powerful things. Let's not limit God. Verse 41, then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and he fell at the feet of Jesus, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. There's some things that reveal about Jairus. He was a synagogue leader and he was a father. Now, synagogue leader was a person who had a dignity amongst the community. He had an elevated status in the community. He was respected and he had self-respect. Let me tell you, a synagogue leader in that community would never fall at the feet of any man and beg for help. A leader wouldn't do that because that is taking yourself and humbling yourself to a point that is beyond your status. But I tell you, a father would. Jairus put aside his status, he put aside his title, he put aside his reputation, he put aside his career, and he acted as a father. And as a father, he fell at the feet of Jesus. Jairus was not concerned about his reputation nor his status. The only concern that he had was his daughter. This is a remarkable picture of humility. You ask me, what is humility? Humility is the ability to think less of yourself and more of others. Simply, that's what humility is. The humility of Jairus, I tell you, out of that crowd, it was the humility of Jairus that stopped Jesus Christ in his tracks. You want the attention of God? God says, the humble heart that grabs my attention every single time. James 4 and verse 6 says this, God resists the proud. I tell you, I don't want to be a person that God resists. Because we know the scripture, if God is for me, who can be against me? But I tell you, if God is against you, if God is resisting you, let me tell you, no one can be for you. God resists the proud, but listen to this, he gives grace and favor to the humble. When we petition Jesus on behalf of others, we have his undivided attention. I want to ask us the question this morning, who are you asking Jesus to touch? What is your prayer life like when you are pleading? Are you just pleading for yourself? Often I'm in my prayers and it's all about John, it's all about my family. But God is saying, when you petition me on behalf of the city, on behalf of nations, on behalf of your neighbor who's going through things that you would not want to go through, when you petition and your heart is thinking about others, man, you have got my attention. Who are you pleading for? You know, there's a quote that says, the Church of Jesus Christ is the only organization that exists solely for the purpose of its non-members. That's what the church should be. We exist solely for the purpose of our non-members. I tell you, Christ in us, we are others focused. We are always thinking about that's the heart of humility. Priests. God has said, I have made you priests of all believers. We are all priests as we sit here. Yes, we may be accountants. Yes, we may be plumbers. Yes, we may be whatever the case may be. But first and foremost, God has made us a priest. What does a priest do? Priest goes to God and he brings man to God and he brings God to man. Priesthood of all believers. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, my priests, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. When we do that, he has got our attention. And I will forgive their sins and I will hear their land. I will grant them the petitions of their heart. A humble heart. Who do people go to when their daughters are dying? Who are the Jairuses of this world going to? Where is Jesus Christ physically right now? The Bible says that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever praying and interceding for us. That's where physical Jesus is. And yet Jesus says, my spirit is in you so that the works that I did, those very works and even greater you will do. His spirit dwells in us. We are the body of Christ. That's what the Bible says. So we are his hands and his feet. The people that Jairus go to has got to be the church. We are the physical manifestation and the representative of Jesus Christ here on earth. We might not feel like it all the time, but that's what the Bible says. You are the only Jesus people are ever going to listen to and touch. That's why he says, in my name, those that believe, these signs will follow them that believe. I tell you, we have the privilege of having the Holy Spirit live within us. He says, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? He resides in you, the very presence of God. It was Nathanael who said to Jesus, just show us the Father and that will be enough to us. That will be enough for us. I tell you, this world is saying, just show us the Savior and that will be enough for us. You know what Jesus said to Nathanael? He said, Nathanael, how long must I be amongst you? Don't you know that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? When you hear me, you hear the Father. When you see me, you see the Father. When I touch you, the Father touches you. The world is crying out and they say, show us the Savior and that is all that we will need. I tell you, we've got to be bold and we've got to have this revelation that God's power dwells in us. So when Jairus comes and falls, he's not falling at the physical feet of Jesus. But Jesus Christ says, I'm going to bring out a church so that I can display my love and my glory. The ministry of Jesus Christ continues in you and I. That's not, we can't get proud about this. But I tell you, people have got to come. I want to ask us the question, do people know that they can find Jesus when they come to you? Do they know where to find Jesus in their office if you are around? You know, we've been doing business with a woman at the Bryanston Country Club, and her husband had just suffered a very, very severe stroke, unexpected. He is incapacitated. He is learning how to speak properly again. He can't move. What a devastating thing to happen to a young family. And you know, when she saw the very next day, when she saw my wife, Nikki, come in, she ran up to her and she says, "I know that you are religious." You know, the world might call it different things, but she says, "I know that you are religious. Can you pray for us as a family?" I tell you, they ought to see Christ in us. Because if they cannot come to the church, if they cannot come to us and find Jesus, where are they going to find Jesus? We are a light that has been set on a hill. Don't hide it under a basket. Don't hide. And I see Dawn there. I've used this testimony many, many years. I was newly born again, going off into the Air Force, to the Army. And so I was born again 1 year. And I was a little bit concerned that, you know, being away for 2 years national service, that my testimony, something was going to happen. And Dawn said this. She says, "John, what I want you to do, I want you to make known right from the first day that you are a Christian. It's going to help you in two ways. It's going to help you share your testimony, and it's going to keep you on the straight and narrow." But I tell you, I did that. I wore a t-shirt saying, "This is Jesus is the only way to heaven." And I tell you, that was the greatest advice that I've had. Even then, when I left the Army and I went into secular work, I went into advertising, I let my colleagues know that I was a Christian. I tell you, time and time again, people with cancer, people with heart ailments, people whose family were in desperate need, who did they come to? Who did they come to? They might have been offended, one or two of them, but I tell you, when people are up against the wall, they need to come and say, I want the Savior. You seem to have the words of eternal life. Please share it with me. I encourage us. Share your testimony. Let people know that you are of him. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. No one could heal her. And she came up behind him, and she touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. I tell you, let's just picture this. Afflicted for 12 years. 12 years. This woman, by that stage, was totally, totally broken in every way imaginable. It was not only her body that was afflicted. It was her mind as well. You know, the thoughts of hopelessness, another translation says that she almost went into financial bankruptcy, because it said she spent all that she had seeking health, and she couldn't. You know, when we get to a place where we realize, man, I have no other place to turn to. There's no plan B. I'm up against the wall. If this doesn't happen, I am over. You want to know that hopelessness that begins to crush your heart? The low self-esteem that she had for 12 years. No one can heal me. Hope deferred, the Bible says, makes the heart grow sick. You know, time and time again, I'm hoping. For 12 years, I want to emphasize this. I don't know how long you've been suffering. 12 years is a long time. Her body was broken physically. I think it was, and I don't know much about it, but I think she had a menstrual flow for 12 years. I have got no clue what that feels like. But I tell you, you speak to some woman, it is the most excruciating, most discomforting. Imagine having, excuse me for being graphic, but a menstrual flow for 12 years non-stop. Your body is depleted. It is broken. This is the state of this woman. What about her spirit? You know, we are made up of mind, body, and spirit, but her spirit was also broken. Because under the Levitical law, if you are bleeding, if you are on your menstruational cycle, you are considered unclean. Unclean, outcast. Anyone who touches you, anyone who comes into contact with you, becomes unclean. So what did the community do to her? For 12 years, she was ostracized. You are unclean. Imagine walking around with that label. That's the woman who's unclean. She's got a problem. Don't come near. Don't even touch her. I don't know whether she was married, but her husband would not be able to touch her. Her family. The law stated that even the chair that you sit on becomes unclean. So I can't even sit on this. Totally ostracized. Ostracized. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, no, wait. "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." This was a very different kind of touch. This was a touch not just from the other crowds, but this was a touch that was based with hope. There was a touch that was cloaked with faith. this was a touch that was full of expectation. She was part of that crowd. She knew. She heard that there was someone who could come and was raising the dead, cleansing the lepers. And so she touched him with expectation. Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now faith is the substance. This is the New King James Version. Faith is the substance. It's not just an ethereal thing we talk about. When we operate in faith, it becomes substantial. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the very evidence of things not seen. When we touch Jesus with faith, power is released. I've touched Jesus many, many times. But every time when I touch him in faith, any time, we're going to talk about faith just now, but when we touch him with faith and expectation, when we walk through these doors and we say, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter his courts with faith. I will touch him this morning with faith. Something happens. The power of heaven becomes substantially evident. Think about that statement. When we touch him in faith, the power of heaven becomes substantially evident. Signs and wonders begin to flow. It's not just mere talk, but there's a demonstration of his power, so that our faith may not rest on the words of mere men, but that they may rest on Jesus Christ. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. I'll tell you what. You want to be noticed by heaven. When we touch heaven, when we touch Jesus Christ in faith, we cannot go unnoticed. Our prayers are not unnoticed. God's attention is all ears when we are praying in faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. When we come to him, we must believe that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Pray prayers of faith. It'll get the attention of God. You will not go unnoticed. Heaven notices when you reach out in faith. You know what? Another place that notices as well, hell notices when we reach out in faith. There's a story in the Gospels about the seven sons of Sceva, and they were trying to imitate the power of the Holy Spirit. And they tried to cast out demons from a man. I tell you, these demons came out, they beat them. And there's an account where the demons actually says, you know, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but I don't know you, because you're not operating in faith. Hell knows the children of God who are operating in faith. I pray that through when we wake up in the morning, you know those things. When we wake up in the morning, I pray that hell is trembling. Yes, someone who is able to ask God for things in faith, and he will receive it. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. You know, when I read that, the question I asked myself is, why did Jesus call this woman out in public? Why did he make almost a spectacle of her? He could have just let her go. Go with her healing, move along, go on to Jairus' assignment. Why did he call her out in public? I want to say, Jesus will never embarrass you. Never, never embarrass you. Jesus exposes things in our life, never to harm us, but always to heal us. Jesus is always redemptive, never vindictive. I just want to give us that advice. When there's prophecy and when you're hearing God speak, if you are embarrassed, if anyone embarrasses you, and it might be unwittingly, that's not God. God is not like that. So then, why did he call her out? I believe there are two reasons Jesus called her out publicly. The first reason is Jesus wanted her to know that it was his power and not her works that saved her. Very, very important. There's another translation which says, if I can only touch the hem of his garment. Listen to that word. If I can only touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Religion will always tell us, if you will only do this, if you can only go to church every single Sunday of every month, you will receive. If you can only stop swearing, if you can only stop watching the things that you, God will do this. If I. Religion is always based on I. My reaching out to God. But Christianity is God reaching out to man. Jesus didn't want her to think that it was her works that saved her. No, it was my power. I don't want you to think that I did this. You must know that me, Jesus Christ, it was by my power that did this. Ephesians 2:8 says this, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. We are not saved by faith. We are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that you can boast. Your faith does not save you. That might come as a shock to some of you, but listen to what I'm saying. Your faith does not save you. The blood of Jesus Christ saves you. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ saves you. The grace of God saves you. The gift of God, who is Jesus Christ, He saves you. Faith is only the path by which salvation comes to us. I cannot boast, therefore, in my faith. What is more important, the size of your faith or the object of your faith? Think about that. What is more important, the size of your... Because a lot of people think, if I can only just increase my faith, if I can just receive more faith, if my faith was bigger, I tell you, it's not the size of your faith, but it's where you place your faith. Jesus goes and he tells this parable. He says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, small little mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. What was Jesus saying there? He was saying, it's not the size of your faith. You can have faith, small faith. But where you put that faith, that makes all the difference. The size of the faith is not the issue. Where you place your faith is all the issue that counts. Big faith in a small God will produce nothing. But I tell you, small faith in a big God will produce everything. Our faith does play a part, but it's a minor role. Because you're going to tell me, no, but it says, Jesus says, it was your faith healed you. We do have a part to play, but it's a minor role. This morning, I don't care how much faith you have. You might have come here to church and you say, man, I've got a small little bit of faith. What good is it going to do me? If you will just put that faith in the right place, God will answer your prayers. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Small lunch. Small lunch. But placed in the right hands, feeds a multitude. It's not the size of your faith, but it's who you place your faith in that counts. Number two, the second reason why I think Jesus called her out, he says, he called her out publicly so that he could restore her publicly. I believe that. It was not necessarily for her benefit, but it was for the benefit of all those that were around her. Listen to what his words were. He says, daughter, you are healed, go in peace. So Jesus restored her again as she was broken, mind, body, and spirit. He begins to restore her mind, body, and spirit. Mind, he calls her daughter. He gives her a new identity. Amongst the community, he says, I am referring to you as daughter. You are included. Daughter was, it's a family term. You are included again, daughter. Why did he could have called a lady or anything else, but he says, daughter. He was including her. He was giving her a new identity, a new belonging, no longer outcast. But he says as much to her as to the community, this is your daughter. Include her in the community. In body, you are healed. Instantaneous. There was an instantaneous healing to her body. Instantaneous. She knew it. Jesus knew it. And he also wanted the people in the community to hear it. Physically, I am healed. And Jesus confirming, yes, you are healed because power came out of me. Because Jesus was setting her back into community. It was important that the community knew that she was now, from this time on, healed. Not a problem anymore. We can accept her. Jesus, then he heals her spirit. And he says, go in peace with God and your community. Jesus puts us at peace with God and man. It was almost saying publicly, me and you, we're good. You and the community, we're good. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. This peace with God, Jesus Christ has reconciled us back to the Father. He reconciled this daughter back to himself and back to community. The Spirit and the ministry of reconciliation now rests with who? The Bible says it rests with the church. We are those peacemakers. Let us go into the world and publicly reconcile man back to God and man back to man. Verse 49. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. I tell you, what crushing, devastating news. There was a man who was beseeching and pleading for Jesus Christ to come because his daughter was ill. Now all of a sudden, escalated to the next level. Your daughter is dead. Don't even bother the master anymore. I don't know what kind of bad news you have received over your lifetime this week, even yesterday. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. The devil will always try and drown out the faith that comes from listening to the voice of God. It says, while Jesus was still speaking, while Jesus is still speaking, the devil is still speaking. You know that the devil is speaking? You know what the devil is telling you? Don't bother the master anymore. Why? Because he'll listen to other people's prayers, but your prayers he's not going to answer because you are this, this, and this, and this. There's no help for you in God. David even said, many are they that come against me and they say, there is no help for him in God. That's what the devil wants to do. He's the accuser. He's the liar. He's saying that healing that you are wanting, it's not going to come. It might come for another person, but for you, it's not going to come. That salvation that you are seeking, it's not going to work for you. For other people at my word, that's the voice of the devil. I tell you, whose voice are we going to listen to? While he was still speaking, faith comes by hearing and hearing God speak. That's what Romans 10, 17. Don't be afraid, fear not. You know how many times that appears in the Bible? And as I said, the prophetic word that Sandy released this morning, those songs that we were singing, do not be afraid. Take a guess how many times it appears in the Bible. 365 times in the Bible. How many days do we have in a year? 365 days in a year. That means Jesus Christ says to us every single day that we are living, fear not, do not be afraid, for I am with you. God is speaking. Whose voice are you going to listen to? When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. What was Jesus doing there? Jesus was shutting out the voice of the devil. Be very selective about the voice that you invite into your house. Be very selective. Be very cautious about who you allow into your home. Don't just allow any voice, any person to come and influence. Jesus was saying, you come, you guys out. Be very selective. I tell you, the things that we watch, the voice that comes into our homes through television, through bad news, through whatever the case may be very selective. Don't allow, shut those voices down. Let the voice of Jesus Christ be the loudest voice in your family, in your home. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and he said, my child, get up. And her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. My child, get up. And her spirit returned. She was dead, but now she's alive. And Jesus says, I want you to give her something to eat so that you can understand that all power and authority has been given to me. I've just raised someone from the dead. And this is the proof. Now, she was once dead, but now she's living and she's eating. I want to minister because I believe God is speaking in three ways. I want to take these things. Daughter, you are healed. Go in peace. There's something about God wanting to restore our identity again. You might be here this morning and you are saying, man, I just feel so unworthy. I'm like that prodigal son that has gone away. I am not a son. I am only a servant. But this morning, I want you to hear the voice of Jesus Christ to you. Daughter, you are healed. Whatever's been ailing you, whatever relationship problems that you might be having, whatever relationship problem that you might be having with your father, Jesus Christ is saying, daughter, I want you to understand the way I look at you, the way I see you, the way I perceive you. You are my daughter. I have given you of my life. I will never take that away. I want you to go in peace. You might be here and you say, man, I've just got no peace. Might be a peace with God that you're struggling with. It might be a peace in your family, but there's no peace in my home. This morning, Jesus is saying, daughter, son, be healed. Your faith has healed you. I want you to go in peace. Let the peace of God settle upon you. A peace so that you can sleep at night and not being anxious for anything. A peace which confirms that I am in right standing with God. What a peace that is. The peace that comes through a person, not just a circumstance. That's the peace that he is doing. If that is you this morning, God is speaking to you. And just now, I want us to respond this morning. But I'm going to give out these calls. And then I'm going to call you to the front and we're going to pray. But that might be you. Another thing that I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to do is saying, do not be afraid, just believe she will be healed. You know that thing you've been waiting and you've been asking God? I need you to come through for me in this area. I need healing for myself, or there's something that I need. I'm praying on behalf of a family member. I'm praying on behalf of my children. I'm praying on behalf of myself, and I'm afraid that I'm not going to receive what I've asked for. There's such a fear, and we've ministered very powerfully already this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit is ministering this morning. Fear has got to leave. Fear not. Fear not, for I'm with you. And then, my child, get up, and her spirit returned. You know, sometimes we can be so broken, we can be so crippled, that we can't even get up. We might be standing up on the outside, but I tell you, in our spirits, we are so crushed, we are so defeated. There's almost a death that has come. You might be here this morning and you think, there's a death that has come in some area of my life. Jesus Christ is speaking these words. My child, get up. He's resurrecting promises. He's resurrecting your spirit. He's bringing strength to your weak knees. He's bringing courage back to you. You can stand up. You have a voice. And he wants to bless you.